Thankful for prayers that are offered on behalf of the message that would be sent out, that whether that would be corporately or individually, that we have this blessing that we can petition God and know that He will hear our prayers and He will grant unto us according to the measure of faith that we have as we petition Him and ask Him that He would bless our gathering together and that the Holy Spirit would do His work in our midst. So thankful for that avenue of prayer that we have. We see again that the Holy Ghost was at work here during this reading, and as we look here in the previous chapter, chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost where when they were all gathered together, it was at that time then that the Holy Ghost showed up and that there was a mighty sound of a mighty rushing wind and was revealed to them, and they had done miracles. And the people were wondering, and some had some comments, and some had other comments. But Peter stands up, and he tells them, you know, the accusations that you're making that these are drunken, it can't be. It's early in the morning, and that wouldn't be the case. But you can see that the power of the Holy Ghost, and you can see that this is now a fulfillment of the scriptures that were given in the Old Testament, that this now has come to pass. This miracle and this time where the Holy Ghost would present Himself to the people, to those that would believe in Jesus Christ, and that there would be this the power of the resurrection that they testified of. And in your pew Bibles, there's those black stars that are next to these verses. That's an indication of a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given in the Old Testament. And you can see that throughout those verses, all over, that there are black stars there, that there is a fulfillment of these prophecies that were given. And so Peter's explaining to the people here in Jerusalem that the Holy Ghost was prophesied, and this is now a fulfillment of that prophecy. Joel prophesied of it. This is the fulfillment of it. David spoke of the resurrection. This is now the fulfillment of it. And so he explains all these things, and he's telling the people these things. And he concludes by saying, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." This was the message to them. This is Jesus Christ. You crucified Him. God raised Him from the dead. But He was sent to you, and God had made Him both Lord and Christ. And so their response was, what should we do? Men and brethren, what should we do? What do we do about this? Now, there's a fulfillment of the scriptures. What do we do about this? Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, for removal of that guilt of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So he spoke to them and told them that they should repent and be baptized. And so there was this message that was going forth in Jerusalem here continuously of them that they ought to turn to the Lord. And repentance is a changing of our mind about the Lord. That we would change our mind from a mindset that I got this, I don't need the Lord, I don't believe in the Lord, I don't fully trust in Him, I trust in myself. To a mindset that, no, I need the Lord. And without Him, I can't do anything. He's my strength. He's my salvation. I will be resurrected because He was resurrected. And that's what repentance is. And so there was great joy. And the Bible here says that there was 3,000 souls that were added to the fold. And more were added daily, such as should be saved. And so this was the atmosphere that was going on here at this time in Jerusalem and at the temple specifically. And then so now Peter and John go up to the temple at this ninth hour towards the late afternoon, and they're going at a time to pray. And they meet this lame man who's older than 40 years old. And along the way, and the man, as he always did, asked for alms. That was his request. The Lord says, ask and ye shall receive. And that was his request, that he wanted some alms from Peter and John. Did he recognize that these were two great apostles? Perhaps the Bible doesn't say. But he simply asked of alms, just as he did from anybody else. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, says, look on us. And he thought that he was going to receive something from them. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. And so it was that this man specifically asked for alms. Peter and John could have simply said, well, we don't have any silver and gold. We can't help you out. That's what you wanted. We can't give that to you because we don't have any. We're going to continue on our way to the prayer that we are scheduled to go to at this ninth hour. But Peter didn't stop there. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It was in Jesus' name that Peter and John were doing this miracle. They must have seen that there is a measure of faith in this man. He's older than 40 years old, but he was born as a lame man. But there is some measure of faith in him. And so they imparted and they gave to this lame man that which they could in the name of Jesus Christ. Likewise for us, there are things that we have and there are things that we do not have. There are resources that we have and there are some resources that we do not have. But what we have, that we can give. And in the name of Jesus, we give these things. If we go to help somebody, but we don't do it in the name of Jesus, the value of that help is very little. But when we give it in the name of Jesus, there is great value there. And so it was that this lame man was healed, and he was able to immediately walk. It wasn't that he needed training to learn how to walk, but immediately his ankle bones and his feet received strength, and he was able to walk, and that he did. Not only walking, but leaping as well. And there was great joy. There was great joy that he had in this physical healing that he was experiencing. And the people that came there round about and noted that this man, he was lame. We know who he was. He was lame. He was sitting there at the beautiful gate asking for alms all the time. And now we see him leaping. And they wondered, the Bible says. They were greatly wondering. They were filled with amazement at what had happened to him. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. Likewise, for us, we need to keep that joy in our hearts of what the Lord has done for us, or what miracles we had seen the Lord do in turning a soul that was destined for hell, who abode in darkness, who was underneath the as a servant underneath a master of Satan. They were turned from darkness to light, and we rejoice with them, and that joy should never go away. That joy should always be there when we see the glory of the Lord and the working of the Holy Spirit. And yet when their exuberance, and it says all the people, and in multiple places in our reading this evening, it says all the people. There was many there. There were 3,000 that were baptized earlier. Now there were 5,000 men that were baptized there in chapter 4. So there was a great number of people, and so the Bible says that all the people, they wondered. They all came and congregated on Solomon's porch there. They all came together, and the mass of people, thousands of people, was great. And they were all wondering, and they were all in amazement. And Peter says to them, so now Peter's speaking to the common people. He's speaking to the thousands of people. Then, and he says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or look, why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? It wasn't about us. It's about Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus that this has happened. And that this lame man, who was formerly lame, had faith to believe. He had faith to believe that through Jesus Christ he could receive this healing, though he had coped with it for 40-plus years. And so Peter immediately speaks of Jesus. He says, it wasn't our own power, or it wasn't our own holiness, and neither will it ever be for ourselves as well. It's not by our own power or holiness that we can do anything in the name of Jesus Christ, but it is through the power of the Holy Ghost and through His Spirit working through us. And giving him honor and giving him glory, just as Peter did here. And so Peter tells them, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Peter's reminding the people here, when Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate was trying to stop this crucifixion of Jesus. Pilate was saying, he didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing worthy of death in him. And Pilate was trying to stop it, but they were determined that he would be crucified. And they even chanted that, let him be crucified. And and they had an opportunity, but it says that Peter correctly says that they denied him. They denied him. And it says, and ye denied the Holy One. Further again, he says it, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That was Barabbas. And ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. And as we go through these first few chapters here in Acts, the Apostle Peter is saying that over and over. You crucified him, God raised him from the dead. You delivered him up, God rose him. Over and over, we can read that. Ye killed the Prince of Life, but whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. They saw it, they were there, they gave testimony to that which they had seen. And he says, so it was this lame man's faith in Jesus and in the name of Jesus and what he was able to do that he had this perfect soundness in his feet again. And so Peter tells him, I know that it was through ignorance that you did it, as your rulers also did, because their rulers also crucified, or not crucified, but killed prophets that were sent to them. But these things are now being fulfilled. Peter's reminding them, just as Joel prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come, just as David said that there would be a resurrection, this is now a fulfillment. God fulfilled that which was prophesied from before. And so he says to these people again, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So he's continuously telling them, repent, change your mind. Change your mind about who God is and your great dependence upon him and your need of salvation through Jesus Christ. Repent. Turn from your sinful ways, turn to the Lord, and live for him. Be converted. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And then he says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, meaning Moses had this great connection with God, and he spoke to the people, he delivered to them the Ten Commandments. He had this closeness with the Lord. And so Moses is saying, he's going to be like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So Jesus Christ spoke to them. He told them the ways of God. He told them what was important for them to know and to understand and how they might repent and be converted and have life through faith in Jesus' name. And then Moses continued on. We can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I believe it is. It says that, and it shall come to pass that every soul, Jew or Gentile, which shall not hear that prophet, Jesus Christ, shall be destroyed from among the people. So there's good news. Good news is that man crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. God gave him life. And there is salvation through that redemption that God had done through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. But the bad news is that every soul which shall not hear Jesus Christ shall be destroyed from among the people. They will be destroyed. That's very clear that the Israelites understood that because they knew that all those that left Egypt were destroyed in the wilderness that didn't believe. None of those that left from Egypt made it into the promised land, say Joshua and Caleb. They understood that there was a destruction to those who believed not. And here Peter is preaching to them, just as in that time Moses said, there's going to be a prophet that's going to be like me. You hear him. If you don't hear him, you're going to be destroyed from among the people. And that's the bad news. But God is a righteous judge. He gives us opportunities. He shows mercy. He does great things among his creation, and he gives us opportunity to repent, to be converted, to be baptized, to walk in newness of life, to be empowered by the Holy Ghost, to be a witness of the things which God hath done in our lives, and to believe the scriptures that he had left for us. And he's saying, again, this is a fulfillment. Samuel and all those that followed, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. And you're the children of these prophets. You're the children of Abraham. That was something you bragged about all the time, is that we're the children of Abraham. We're not born of fornication. We're the children of Abraham. We have something special. And he's saying, yes, you do. You are the children of Israel and of Abraham. And know that all the kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. So he says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. God did this, and it was specifically toward the children of Israel. Turn yourselves from this untoward generation. Repent, believe the gospel, be saved. Jesus came specifically to his own. And the Bible says that his own received him not. But Peter is saying here now, but now receive him. Receive him. And you'll be disconnected from your iniquities and connected to God. Because we know that there's a separation between sin and God. There is no connection between God and sin. And Peter is saying here, you can be removed from your iniquities, and you can be joined to God. You can have salvation. You can have life as you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so Peter preached to the thousands there on Solomon's porch at the temple of this message of salvation through Jesus Christ and through faith in his name. He didn't deny that the power came from the Holy Ghost. He gave all glory to God. And he pointed to Jesus Christ. And so it is then that the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees show up. And they hear, oh, here's these men again. They're preaching about this resurrection through Jesus. Resurrection of this dead through Jesus. They're preaching this again. And so they laid their hands on him and put them on hold until the next day, for now it was eventide. So here's the first persecution that the apostles had experienced. This is the first time now that they were subdued and persecuted so that the message of Jesus Christ would be stopped. But the power of the Holy Ghost was there, and that power was working in men, and they were hearing it, and they were believing it. Because it says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. There was many who were moved by the message that Peter had, of this message of salvation, were the culmination of all the previous prophecies of all the prophets as they pointed to Jesus Christ. This was now the fulfillment of it, and through Jesus Christ, and they believed that. So on the next day, all the council gathers together in their array, and the rulers, the elders, and a few men here, and they gather together in Jerusalem, and they brought Peter and John into their midst, and they asked them the question, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And so they weren't specific as to what it is that they're accusing them of. They just simply asked that you've done this. So Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, again, not filled with himself, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He says unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. He's saying, if this is what you're saying, that asking what we did, he's saying, if it's in reference to this, that this impotent man was made whole, he says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It didn't take Peter very long to get right to the point as to whose name he was preaching in, whose power was able to heal this impotent man, he immediately went to who the glory belonged to, and that was to Jesus Christ. And he reminds them, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. The Sadducees, the chief priests, and all those people, they tried to do away with Jesus Christ. They thought that if they crucify him, he's done away with. And that's what Peter's saying here, that was set at naught of you builders. They thought that they could take Jesus Christ and set him at naught, put him aside, that he would have no purpose. But Peter reminds them, he's become the head of the corner. He's become that cornerstone that all the rest of the building is leveled from, is measured off of. And it is so with us that we are part of this building as lively stones of this building of God, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus, while he was upon this earth, said that the Holy Ghost is going to be coming and he will testify of me. That's what Jesus said. He will testify of me. And so we see that happening here, is that the Holy Ghost was testifying of Jesus Christ. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was testifying of Jesus Christ. He's saying, be it known to you all, and to all the house of Israel, to everybody, to all the people, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Jesus, even by him, does this impotent man stand here before you whole. It's through the power of Jesus. And we give him the honor and we give him the glory in all things. And we witness of the great things which Jesus Christ has done. You know, we're very familiar that we live in a society now today where, you know, it's okay to talk about religion. It's okay to talk about God. But when you name the name of Jesus Christ, there's a little bit of angst there. It's like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't name Jesus. Perhaps that was there then too. But it is only through the name of Jesus Christ that we can receive power from on high, that we can be resurrected, that we can walk in newness of life, that we can have that condemnation removed from us. There is salvation in no other than through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so now these Sadducees and these chief priests and all of them, captain of the temple, they're in a quandary and they don't know what to do. They're like, oh, okay, wow, Peter and John, okay, you were actually with Jesus? You were with him? Oh, okay, so you have this witness of all these things. And this healing of this lame man, everybody saw it. The thousands of people on Solomon porch saw it. We can't deny it. And they didn't know what to do with themselves. So they said, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done among them is manifest unto all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So they didn't know what to do. So they figured, well, we'll just simply tell them very strongly, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And so that's what they did. They went to Peter and John and said, don't speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He's telling them, they were telling them very flatly, we're going to preach in the name of Jesus, because through the name of Jesus there is power. There is a resurrection. There is salvation. There is the ability to separate ourselves from our sins. And so they told them very clearly, we're going to continue to speak and preach Jesus Christ. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were going to be the witnesses that they were called to be by the Holy Ghost, to be this witness. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, For all men glorified God for that which was done. There was something great that happened there at this time in Jerusalem at the temple. There was the power of the Holy Ghost. He was working and he was testifying of Jesus Christ. He was working through Peter and through John. And they were those that grasped it. They got it. They understood it. Yes, this is a fulfillment of all the prophecies that were ever given from the time of Samuel all the way through. They all prophesied of Jesus. And we believe that that was Jesus that was crucified there on Golgotha. We believe that through faith in his name that we can have salvation. We can believe that if we repent, are converted, are baptized, and walk in newness of life, that our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They believed these things, and thousands were added to the fold. Let's continue, brothers and sisters, to witness for Jesus Christ. Let's operate underneath the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's give him glory in all that we do. Amen.
This message tonight was a message of hope. As we see here that the apostles healed this lame man and gave him a hope. He was able to walk, leap, and join them to go into the synagogue and to worship their God. And so as the apostles remind us that, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins be blotted out. That gives us a hope. Be converted and that our sins will be blotted out. That's a hope we have. And so then we know that the only way that that can be is, as he said here, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name, of course, is Jesus Christ. No other name, no other way, only through Jesus Christ. Christ said that himself while he was here. It is only through me that you will see your Heavenly Father. Let us live with that hope. Let us trust and believe that that hope can be real in our lives. And I believe that's a message for us tonight. Amen.